a traveling exhibit in Germany called War of Annihilation, Crimes of the Wehrmacht, 1941 to 1944, challenged the long-held belief that the German armed forces did not commit war crimes and participate in acts of genocide during World War II, that only specialized units and the SS did. The show sparked mass protests and caused Germans to rethink what their fathers and grandfathers had done during the war. Michael Verhoeven's documentary, The Unknown Soldier, explores what happened in the wake of the exhibition and lays out some of the crimes the Wehrmacht committed on the Eastern Front. The film opens today at the Quad Cinema on West 13th Street and has gotten great reviews on New York Times and elsewhere. I'm very pleased that it has brought Michael Verhoeven to my show today. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Haven't Germans been a lot better about accepting culpability for World War II war crimes than the Japanese have, for example? Why did War of Annihilation, Crimes of the Wehrmacht hit such a nerve in Germany when it first opened?
Okay, first of all, I have to apologize for my very poor English.
Well, so far you're doing well.
Yeah, but I always come to a point where I don't.
You understood what I said?
Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah, I think the German people understood and accepted what their ancestors, the generation of my parents, for instance, yeah, what they did to the Jews in Germany. They understood that, and I think they took the good conclusions from that, and they developed, yeah. And it's a difference to what happened with the army, because the army, this is more or less a legend. It has an aura, and so as you explained already, nobody knew, obviously, at least I did not know, anything about the involvement, yeah, of the Wehrmacht against the Jewish population.
The sense was that the Wehrmacht had just fought during the war and left all the nasty stuff to other people. They just did what any soldiers would do. A previous film of yours, The Nasty Girl, was about a young woman who challenged her hometown's collective memory of what happened during the Nazi period. Why do you think it's important to tell the German public about the crimes committed by different people 60-plus years ago?
Yeah, I mean, in my case, I was so interested in what happened to this nasty girl, which is a true story.
We had your star here, yes, at the time when the film opened.
Yes, Anna Rosmus. Yeah, and of course I handled it in my way, almost a comediantic way, but still it's a true story. And I was so touched by what I read and heard about this girl. She was a girl when she did this, because I was reminded to my own struggle in school days to get my teachers into a kind of conversation about that topic. You have to imagine that I graduated in high school without ever heard anything about the Third Reich.
That really started opening up in around 1960 or so, didn't it? Where people started talking about what had gone on.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's 15
years
year,
later. Actually, but it has to do with the new generation, with the student revolts. Yeah, all of a sudden there was a change. You could really feel it. Yeah, and from that on, I mean, Germany took its lesson. Yeah, we know now more, and my both sons know much more than I did in their age.
Still, there was a lot of anger when this exhibit opened.
Yes.
What happened? Was it important that it was first shown in Munich?
No, it was not first shown in Munich. It was first shown in Hamburg and in other towns. And it started in 1995. And it came to Munich in 1997. Mm-hmm. And in the morning, I read in the newspaper that today will come 5,000 neo-Nazis from all over Germany by buses to protest against this exhibition. And this was my start to go into it, because I thought, if this happens now, then I should be there and with cameras, and I should try to get in touch with those strange people and try to get into some talk, but this was not possible. They didn't want to talk.
Yeah, they refused to talk on camera. But should we be shocked that 5,000 neo-Nazis were able to come to protest? That would suggest that there are many more neo-Nazis in Germany today.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, there are some political parties who won't forbid this party, NPD, National Party Germany, Deutschland. Actually, it should be called nationalistic. And the good thing I can say about my country is that the average people are not nationalistic anymore. And this is an improvement, yeah? But many politicians want to forbid this party, and I always said no. This is not reasonable to forbid a party because you cannot forbid the people, yeah, who are in.
They'll just go underground.
Yeah, and then you have no control anymore about those. So I think still it is frightening if you see those young guys, yeah, bold and with big shoes, yeah, Stiefel, we say. And so they want to look dangerous, yeah. They want to be frightened. And I think as long as they are only that small percentage, then, okay, we can be content with the situation. But you never know what happens, yeah, if young people who have no education, no knowledge, are influenced by them. So I think it's quite dangerous, even if the party NPD is lower than 5%.
Why do you think they didn't want to talk on camera? In fact, they prevented people from talking to you.
I think that the structure of this party is that only the next higher person can tell something, or he can tell who next higher would be able or allowed to talk. And this is a fascistic structure which we had, yeah, in the Third Reich and before. And we can be very glad that this is only the structure of this little group.
My guest is filmmaker Michael Verhoeven, whose latest film is a documentary called The Unknown Soldier. It opens at the Quad Cinema on West 13th Street, and the title is important because we ask just what were those soldiers like, the unknown soldiers, and are all the soldiers of the Wehrmacht to some degree unknown soldiers? Where did the photographs, the film footage, and the documents that were in this exhibit come from?
Oh, it comes from all over the world, so to say. We started, of course, in the German archives. They were not that rich. Then we went to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, and there we got a lot of this footage. But they were not through with this work yet, and they couldn't tell us the background. So they said, now you have to go, for instance, to Kiev. They ask for Mr. So-and-so, and he can help you further. So we, at the end, we had about 50 archives to go through, and most of those pictures and footages are when the film came out in Germany. Yeah, this was in last September.
Well, a lot of these things were in people's attics, weren't they? They had been hidden away in boxes, and yeah, nobody had looked at them for many years.
So it was completely new, yeah? It was completely new. And what it was also for people who sympathized with the Nazi system, elderly people I spoke to. They were all also shocked and said they really did not know that things like that could happen.
But there's still a lot of denial. One man in your film said Dachau wasn't a concentration camp, but a place where Germans killed in air raids were cremated.
He's a stupid man. I should have taken him out. But anyway, it was, for me, it was so astonishing that a grown-up man has such a stupid opinion.
A more common view was asked by one man who said, must Germany rehash the history of World War II 50 years later? I'm assuming that a lot of Germans feel that way. That was a long time ago. There was other people. And shouldn't we just get past this? We would never do anything like that again.
I'm not so sure. So I think the first thing is the knowledge. You have to have the knowledge. If you have that, then you can think about it. If you don't have the knowledge, then you could step into the same trap as the generations before us, because there is always a reason to blame somebody for why things are not the way they should be.
Was it your goal to find out what caused people to commit these atrocities? Normal people, people we wouldn't normally, who we would think wouldn't normally do this sort of thing?
You know, the surprising thing was that most of these soldiers who were involved in these atrocities, yeah, were normal people. They were fathers of little children, but still they killed little children. So,
do you think they were just victims of Nazi propaganda, or?
I would say they are also victims of that propaganda, but there must be more. There must be more, which I, after such a long time investigating on that topic, cannot answer. So I still have to ask why. And of course I'm also a little bit frightened, because I'm not sure that this can never happen again.
One of the treasures of this film is a former soldier, Rudolf Mosner. How did you find him?
Oh, very late. The film was already done. We were in the editing phase, and I was very unhappy because I couldn't find an eyewitness in Germany. I found them in the Ukraine, I find them in White Russia, but not in my own country. So, and we had made ads, done ads in newspapers, and we went in resort homes for elderly people. I could not find somebody who would have the heart to say, I was there, I saw this, I did this and that. Nobody gave me an answer. And all of a sudden, when the film was almost over, almost done, I found in a book his statement, which he had written into the guest book of one of the towns where the exhibition toured. And I tried to find this man. I found him. I did not know what will he tell me. And he said, yes, just come. And he told me that he was still, he still suffers under these impressions, yeah? And then I asked him, now you spoke free, that you feel ashamed about what the Wehrmacht did to the Jewish people, to the population.
Also to non-Jews, to Slavs, which they also considered less than human.
Yeah, actually, he has, personally, he has seen, because he was involved with that, the killing of war prisoners, yeah, which is also impossible in any country. And then I said, now you are speaking so free. Did you speak like that also earlier? I said, no. I said, why? he said, yeah, I was in the Alpine Club, yeah? And I wanted that they like me. So I didn't, he didn't talk. And now he's an old man, he's 90. I hope he's still alive. I haven't seen him during the last year. And I think one has to be, in a way, a grown up, yeah. And he's grown up. He does now distinct as he thinks things really are, yeah. Whereas sometimes the pressure, the common pressure, is so strong that somebody doesn't dare to talk.
Well, some people did resist doing these things, and I'm sure there are many others who feel guilt for what they did during the war. But you also met an old schoolmate of yours when you were filming, somebody you hadn't seen since you were in school.
40 years.
And he was angry with you.
Yeah, you know, I didn't recognize him because we both are old men now, and he was a youngster 40 years ago. I couldn't recognize him, but he recognized me. And he said, okay, you are here to insult my father. I said, no, of course not. And then he told me that his father was a brave man. And then I said, yeah, then why do you think this exhibition or what I'm doing now as a film would mean your father? Your father cannot be meant with mm-hmm. all these accusations. Yeah, but there is a collective mind, you know, Wehrmacht. Wehrmacht is clean. Wehrmacht is a symbol. Yeah, heroes, they are heroes.
And you were sullying that reputation. You were dirtying it by working on this film. And the exhibit did that
as
well.
And I met him, you know, I worked 7 years on that film. Investigation was the most difficult thing. And then I met him again 4 years later. And we met and he talked about, and I saw that he was really touched. Yeah, he couldn't, he rather couldn't speak. Yeah.
Had your father served in the
Wehrmacht? No, this is the funny thing. Many people think now this is my revenge on the Wehrmacht. Yeah. My father was not drafted because he was a film artist, and film was very important then, yeah, in the late 30s and 40s. He was very talented in comedy, yeah. And comedy, I learned, was very important for the mood of the population, to keep them quiet, to keep them in a nice temper. And so they didn't draft people like my father. And at the end, at the very end, short before the war ended, he was drafted in Volkssturm, which is old men and young boys, yeah, where they even had no uniforms for them anymore. But he withdrew. He hit himself, and this was such a mess then already that they even didn't follow him up.
Michael Verhoeven's film The Unknown Soldier, which is centered around an exhibit called War of Annihilation, Crimes of the Wehrmacht 1941 to 1944, is opening today at the Quad Cinema on West 13th Street. And I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And your English turned out to be very good.
Tomorrow will be better.
Well, come back tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you.